we're going to spend about 15 hours to discuss the introduction of the New Testament. As we know, the Bible consists of two parts. The first part called Old Testament, the new part called little part called New Testament. The Old Testament composed of how many books? Old Testament composed of how many books? 39 books. The New Testament composed of 3 × 9 = 27 books. So the New Testament combined with Old Testament totally how many books? 66 books. And these 66 books, the dividing point is Jesus Christ. So before Jesus Christ was born, it's considered the Old Testament. And after Jesus Christ was born, we consider New Testament. So the dividing point is Jesus Christ himself. And the whole Bible was written by more than 40 different kind of people. The first one starts from Moses, the man of God. The first five books in the Old Testament. And the last book is commonly believed written by John. So we are going to focus on the New Testament. Now, first let's look into Bible as a book. What's the difference between the book of Bible and rest of the other books? If we read the 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16. Second Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Here says, all scripture were given by inspiration of God. In other translation, we talk about the scripture is come from the breath of God, and that's more correct, breath. In the beginning, when God created Adam, he used a dust and make a person look like a man. But that is that person. God breathed on the person, so the person become a living person, the first person of Adam. And the Bible was the breath of God come into man. When the breath of God comes into man, the idea, the thought, are actually coming from God to a person. And the person uses a pen to write it down. So the KJV translated as inspiration, the original Greek is breath. Bible is the breath of God. So this book is different, because this book is book of God. So in the beginning, there was the world. That was a John. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the universe. So this book is a book start from God. And let's look into the teaching material. The New Testament, the origin and meaning of New Testament. The Testament, the words of Testament, have the meaning of covenant in the Greek words. So it can interpret as the Testament, it also can interpret as a covenant. So if you look into the Chinese one, Yue, Jiu Yue, Xin Yue, a new covenant and older covenant. But English translated New Testament or Older Testament. And the Testament and covenant actually the same words. And Older Testament was started from can you find it? An Old Testament start from Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. That is the beginning of Old Testament. The covenant. Where did the Old Covenant? Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be my a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which shall speak to the children of Israel. So this is the beginning of the Old Covenant, starting from Mount Sinai, and God gave them 10 commandments. And at the beginning of the Old Covenant. However, the New Covenant or New Testament, if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant of my blood, and this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Bible talks about this cup is a new covenant in my blood. So Jesus Christ, after he was crucified, he had 7 utterances on top of the cross. What was the last one? The last utterance of Jesus. What was the last one? Very simple. Finished. It is finished. Finished means that salvation has been completed. Because he already shed the blood. Right. And that is the beginning of new covenant. So when we baptize, or we baptize by the blood of Jesus Christ, we make covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the new covenant actually start from Jesus shedding his blood. Salvation has been accomplished. So this is the difference between Old Testament and New Covenant. Number 2. New Covenant center on Jesus. And the church. You know, the last part of the four gospel is talk about Jesus' ascension. Then after Jesus' ascension, his disciples started to preach the gospel and the church was established. And that is the beginning of the book of Acts. And then after the book of Acts, later on, how the apostles managed the church. And the last book is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the new covenant center on the four gospels center on Jesus. And start from book Acts onwards, focus on the establishment and development of the church. So the new covenant or new testament center on Jesus, the person, and the church. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. And this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remembrance of sin. So, the New Testament actually focuses on a person called Jesus Christ. And how does he come to the world? How did he come to the world? And what did he do? What did he say? How was he crucified? How did he resurrect? How did he ascend to heaven? And then how he disciple to preach the gospel and manage the church. So center on the person, Jesus Christ. And number three, the relationship between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 17. Colossians, chapter 2, verse 17. Which are the shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Verse 16. So let no one judge you for food or in drink or regarding to the festival or new moon of Sabbath, and which are the shadow of things to come. Verse 16 is talk about law, Mosaic law. And Mosaic law is a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So what is the relationship between Old Testament and New Testament? Old Testament is just like a shadow, and New Testament is like a substance. You know, in the physical world, you must have some substance. For example, you see a tree, which you can see, you can touch. So under the tree, you can see a shadow. If you cannot see any substance, then there will be no shadow. And this is in a material world. But in the spiritual world is just on the reverse. Now, here's a shadow come first. You only see a shadow, no reality. And that shadow is Jesus Christ. So the law of Moses pointed a direction into a person, which is Jesus Christ. So all the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecy. A person is coming, especially in the book of Isaiah. Some of you are going to start the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is the gospel in the Old Testament. A lot of indication, prophecy regarding to Jesus Christ. Not only Isaiah from Genesis, a lot of prophecy. That's called shadow. So in the Old Testament, you can see a lot of prophecy of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament, Jesus Christ really come to the world. And this is substance. So Jesus Christ said, if you believe in Old Testament, you will believe in me. Why? Because Old Testament has other prophecies. If you really believe the prophecy, and I am the one who come to fulfill the prophecy. So the New Testament and Old Testament is like a shadow and substance. Now we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, verse 2, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We know that verse 2 actually is talking about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. But in the New Testament, they interpret crossing the Red Sea as baptism. And they interpret Moses as Jesus Christ. So from here, we can understand what is the relationship between Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Israelites been chosen by God, and they live in Egypt for 450 or 60 years. And Egypt, Pharaoh did not worship the true God, so they started to mistreat the chosen people. And the chosen people cry aloud to God. And God came down and take a look. God wants to save them. So God chose Moses. And Moses went to see Pharaoh and practiced 10 plagues. The last plague, all the firstborn was killed. So Pharaoh eventually led the Israelites and came out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. And this historical event recorded in the Old Testament has a spiritual meaning in the New Testament. So the reason we study Old Testament, because spiritually speaking, we are the chosen people of God. And the Egypt represent the world. And Pharaoh represents Satan, who is the ruler of the world. So, when we receive the water baptism, that means we crossing the Red Sea. So we formally sever our relationship with Egypt, with the world. So we start to have our journey in the wilderness. And how about Canaan? God promised to give them Canaan. Canaan represents the first message of Jesus Christ. What was that? The first message of Jesus Christ. The same with the first message of John the Baptist. What was that? The first message of Jesus Christ, the same with the first message of John the Baptist. What's that? Repent, for kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes. So the kingdom of heaven represents the camp, the promised land, a land filled with honey, milk. So we receive the baptism until we really inherit the kingdom of heaven. And this period of time represents the journey in the wilderness or the journey of faith. So from here we can see the Old Testament and New Testament actually are parallel. One is in the historical level, another one is in the spiritual level. So we interpret the historical events with the spiritual meaning. So New Testament and Old Testament cannot be separated. Because New Testament is a fulfillment of the promise of Old Testament. New Testament is a spiritual interpretation of the events in the Old Testament. So it cannot be separated. So for a true seeker, of course, the first we have to ask them to read the New Testament, because this is a substance. And Old Testament is only a shadow. If you ask the true seeker to read the Old Testament, for them it's too profound. I want to believe in Jesus. And you ask me to read the Exodus, what does that mean? You ask me to read the Leviticus, what is clean, what is unclean. Why? I want to believe in Jesus. Why should I know that? Because that's only a shadow. So the true seeker, we ask them to read the New Testament. Focus on the substance, the person, Jesus Christ first. After they fully understand Jesus Christ, and then you go back to Old Testament, and you will realize, oh, that is coming from the fulfillment of Old Testament. So the journey of wilderness is the journey of faith. Now, he talk about they eat a spiritual food and they drink a spiritual water, verse 3 and verse 4. Now what does that mean? In wilderness, God did give them manna. In wilderness, God did give them the water for out of a rock. But spiritually, that manna referring to the words of God, and water referring to the Holy Spirit. So now we know the Old Testament and New Testament is inseparable. It's a fulfillment of Old Testament. It's the spiritual interpretation of the events of the Old Testament. So sometimes if we don't know the New Testament, you look into the Old Testament, you can find some hint from there. And in the book of Haggai, if you read the book of Haggai, Haggai is talking about what? Rebuild of the temple, right? After they rebuild the temple for a period of time, because of strong opposition, so it stopped. So Haggai encouraged them to rebuild the temple again, and they started to rebuild the temple. And we look into Haggai chapter 2. Verse 6. From thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth, and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of the hosts. So he's going to shake the heaven and earth. And all nations are going to bring the material to build the temple. But in reality, in the time of Haggai, it's not all nations contribute the effort. But this is a prophecy, what? Prophecy about the spiritual temple, the church. So from the Old Testament, you can see in the wilderness, there's a tabernacle. And later on, Solomon built the tabernacle. And later on, the tabernacle was torn down by the army of Nebuchadnezzar, and later on, in Israel, they rebuilt the temple. And in the 7th AD, the temple was totally destroyed. But that temple in the New Testament referred to the church. So the church is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament about the temple. And church is a place we worship God. Church is a place God descended. Church is a place God filled upon. So we can see the Old Testament, New Testament is inseparable. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. It's a spiritual interpretation of Old Testament. And in the book of Ezekiel, we know the Ezekiel, the first part, we talk about material temple built by Solomon. Because the Israelites worshipped the idol, so the temple was destroyed. And then in the end of Ezekiel, talk about a new temple. And that temple was built on top of the hill. And the temple was filled with glory. And the temple is going to have living water flow out from the temple to the east direction. And that temple is a spiritual temple. And that temple represents the church in the New Testament. So Ezekiel, we can see the material temple be destroyed because God's glory already left the temple. And eventually, that glory of God will be fulfilled again in temple building in the, on top of the mountain, and that is the church. In the New Testament. So we understand the relation between the New Testament and Old Testament. Now, we go into a second parable. The divine preparation of New Testament. First one, the preparation through the Jewish nation. We know in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, God appealed to Abraham and called him come out of his homeland. Where was the hometown of Abraham? Where was the hometown of Abraham? I don't know. Ur, right? You are Ur. Ur is the ancient city of right now is Iraq. And God called Abraham out of his hometown because he and Ur worship idol. And called Abraham going to Canaan. And God promised to give him Canaan. And Abraham is going to multiply to become a great nation. So in the Old Testament, God prepared a person, Abraham. And through the person, will multiply, become a nation. And that nation called for what? The Israelite. And it all divided into Northern Kingdom is what? Israel, right? Southern Kingdom is Judah. And Abraham's son is what? Isaac born Esau and Jacob, right? And then Jacob later on name been changed to what? Israel. Oh, Jacob means grasp, hold on. And what is the meaning of Israel? Israel means prince of God. Oh, so God changed the Jacob into the name of prince of God. And Israel have 12 tribes, right? Oh, they represent the Israelite, the 12 tribes. So a person come with a nation. And then in the New Testament, out of the nation, a group of people who belong to God. God was, the Savior was born out of that nation. Who of the Mosaic law, who was the only one true God. And that person is Jesus Christ. So God prepared through the Jewish nation and come with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we look into Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentile by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in all this nation shall be blessed. So this is a prophecy from the seed of Abraham. All nations will be blessed. And this referring to a person, Jesus Christ, is going to come from the descendant of Abraham. Oh, so he can be saved. So God prepared a Jewish nation, and comes the Savior and develop into the New Testament. The second, God prepared through the Greek language. You know, in the time of when he was born, in the surrounding area, everybody used Greek language. In the Genesis, we know God destroyed the language. Right? Babel, right? Tower. God confused the language so human beings cannot communicate. But in the time of Jesus, Greek language just nowadays English, even more popular than English. So you can speak Greek language, you almost can go everywhere. So because of the language convenience, the Bible in the New Testament was written in Greek language. When Paul went out to preach the missionary trip, he used the Greek language because that a culture use the Greek language. So it's convenient. So right now, if you study the New Testament, you want to know the true meaning, eventually you will go back to Greek. If you use a concordance and look into the original meaning of that Greek, what is the meaning? And then in the New Testament time, they prepared preparation through the Roman. You know, in the time of Jesus Christ, the Roman Empire was very, very strong. So the prosperity of Roman Empire provided a very secure and very safe environment for the Christianity to spread. Just in 1960, 1970, like the United States, very strong. So in that time, because of the Roman Empire was so strong, so easy for them to spread the gospel. But if the society become chaotic, that is done. It's not easy to spread the gospel. So these are preparation from God for the New Testament. And composition and arrangement of the New Testament. New Testament, we can say, composed of three parts. The first part is historical. The second part is Torah, that means epistle, just like a letter. And the third part is prophetical, it's prophecy. It's called Torah, right? It talks about something that's going to happen in the future. So the historical book actually is five books. The four Gospels together with the book of Acts is considered historical. It talks about historical event, historical record. And then the 21 books from the book of Romans through the book of Jude, the book before Revelation, the book was written like a letter. I write a letter to Galilee Church, I write a letter to Urban Church, something like that. So all the letters been combined together. Or I write a letter to a person, Timothy. So all the books combined is 21 books called Torah. And the last book of the Bible is prophecy, revelation, the second coming of Jesus, and what is going to happen with the second coming of Jesus. So if we read the whole book of the Bible, right? Whole book of the Bible, it's a miracle. The first book is talk about the beginning of the universe. And the last book is talk about the end of the world and the beginning of the new world, the spiritual world, heaven and earth. So the book is a complete, the whole Bible is a complete book, beginning and end, and then the beginning of the spiritual world. So this is the composition and arrangement of the New Testament. You look into the chart. New Testament books, three parts. The second line, history, letters, and prophecy. And history contains five books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And later part, composer, the writer, two persons. One is Paul, and the other one is general. So how many books did Paul write? How many books did Paul write? Can you count? How many books? 13. It's good Hebrew, but somebody say if Hebrew the author is unknown, but somebody say it's Paul. If Paul wrote Hebrew, then Paul would wrote 14 books. But in this chart, Hebrew is different. Now, generally, there are how many authors? James, Hebrew, Jude, Peter, 1 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. About 4 to 5 different authors. And together with Paul, the four gospel. Now, early during the missionary journey, Paul's letter consists of, you can see, about four parts. The first part is the early journey in the missionary trip. There are about three missionary trips Paul has gone through to spread the gospel from Asia to Europe. So in the early days, he wrote Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians,
First Corinthians and Second Corinthians and the book of Romans. But after Paul arrested at Jerusalem, first imprisonment, he wrote Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians. So these four books are commonly called 狱中书信, the letter written in prison. And the most impressive is what? Philippi, the book of Philippi is a book of joy, but actually it was written in prison. Okay, the middle part is release. When Paul was released from prison, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. And second imprisonment, he wrote 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy was the last book written by Paul. How do we know it? How do you know 2 Timothy was the last book written by Paul? If you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, it's talk about, I have run my race, I have kept my faith, I have fight a good fight, right? Now, there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. That means this is the last book. He already said, I have finished, I've done everything, and my duty finished already, so I'm waiting to receive crown of righteousness. That is the last book written by Paul. So, this evening, we are going to go to the B2 page. And start from tomorrow, we are going to go through book by book from Matthew, 27 books to the end of Revelation. So each section we are going to study about two books, because 15 minus 2 is 13. 13 will go through the 27. And Matthew, Pastor Guti will study with us. So we still have 26 books. 13 hours cover 26 books. So each book will, each hour will cover two books. So this evening we'll continue page E2. Okay, let's pray, sir.